And one of the aspects that he noticed in going around preaching the good news of the kingdom, and he realized, in fact, he saw how he saw, as he saw the crowd, that hundreds of people all over, and I think the King James Version, the original King James Version, uses the word here instead of helpless, it uses the word weary. The people appear as though they are tired and appear to see life meaningless. They were totally helpless. And that's what New King James Version says. They were totally helpless. And because of their situation, Jesus simply can sum up saying that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And we are going to look at three words only, the few minutes before we see the slides. Harvest is the first word, plentiful, or the early versions say plenteous. And lastly, laborers or workers. Now, as I have often seen this word harvest, it seems to give three things to us. It is a reminder to each one of us of three things that is important in the word harvest. First of all, it is definitive. There is a definitive time frame, because when we look at corn, you know, I think the prairie, is this part of the prairie region? No. In Malaysia, we learned about the American prairies, which included, you know, states of Wisconsin, Iowa, and a little bit of Ohio, and also the surrounding areas. Maybe I've been taught wrongly. I have always been taught, you know, the prairies was flat land, just like in Iowa, you know, it's literally flat. And you see miles and miles of corn and wheat. So as I, you know, a few years ago, as I had the privilege of going into that state, Ray drove me there. And as I saw miles and miles of corn, especially, and it's sown, if we do not harvest at the right time, the corn will become matured. And it is no longer good for human consumption if it is a corn variety that is good for human consumption. Therefore, from the time of sowing to the time of reaping, there is a time frame. It is definite. You cannot run away from that time frame. And so when Jesus saw the people around, he saw that in each person there was a timeline. They had a birth, they had a death. There was a timeline. And so as he saw the harvest, as he saw people, they were helpless and perishing. And so he says to his disciples, in fact, just after this in Luke, we are told he sent 72 of his disciples. Earlier he had sent his apostles, the 12 of them. He saw that time was limited because the harvest was ripe. It was the time of the harvest. And secondly, as I see the word harvest, it always reminds me of this dispensation of grace. Christ has begun this dispensation. He has allowed the inflow of his grace. And as he saw the harvest field, people were perishing. The dispensation of grace is almost coming to an end because we are living in end times. And as I see the word harvest, I see the urgency for action. Why urgency? Because the harvest is right here. The field is ripe for harvest. And then the second word that we see here is plentiful. And our understanding generally reveals three aspects about the very heart of Jesus Christ who made these comments to his disciples. First of all, he saw that we see in the heart of Christ care and compassion. Care and compassion. As he saw people around, as he saw the sick, as he saw the trained people, as he saw the Pharisees, the Sadducees. When I was a little boy, I had difficulty in understanding the Pharisees. And so one person came along, a young man, he said, "It's not difficult." You see, the English made a mistake. The real word is far you see. But then they wrote it as Pharisee. Far you see, he told me why. Because these Pharisees actually saw beyond the grave. They believed in the resurrection. And so they saw far. Far you see. And then I said, then what about the Sadducees? He says, sad you see. They didn't see anything beyond the grave. When they died, they died. There was no life after. Sad you see. And when Jesus saw all the different types of people, he had compassion and he cared for them. And then in this word, plentiful, we also see the urgency for guidance. There are thousands perishing and the harvest time is here. And he saw the urgency for guidance. These people are without shepherd. They do not have people to guide them and they need a guide. And unwavering purpose. He had an unwavering purpose. Why do we say that? Because he was there, right there, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. And there was urgency in completing that preaching. And finally, as I see the word laborers or workers, there are four things, action items for us as individual, for the disciples, as he spoke to the disciples, and for us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first action thing is to identify the needs, identification of the needs. As we see the field that is ready for harvest, as we see in Milwaukee the needs, we identify the needs. As I go home and then also go into Nepal, and as I see faces, I see dots that they put. Hindus have big dots, big eyes. They call it the third eye. And I thought two eyes is enough. Some people want more. And then there are Buddhists who don't at all believe in God, because Buddhism is not a faith in God, but a way of life until you go into nothingness. And so as we see the needs, he says, we need workers, we need laborers to go and reach out to these people and prayer. Because in the next verse that we read just now, verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. And here we need equipping. If we are workers, laborers, you don't go into the field without knowing anything. In Malaysia, when we harvest the rice grain, we call it paddy, you know, paddy in the paddy fields. When we go and harvest, in ancient times, we used to have a knife which is curved so that we can hold the paddy stalk and cut. But nowadays, we don't have to know, but we still have to be able to drive a combined harvester, a harvester that will go through the field and harvest the crop. We need to be equipped, and that is where we need training. We need help. And the message of the gospel. We might ourselves have a personal relationship, because the gospel is Jesus Christ himself. And having seen this, then Jesus tells his disciples, as he saw the people around, he says, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Now, let me just mention about GLOW Malaysia, the training. It started in 1994 when we were, you know, burdened in trying to reach out to young people, young men and young women, so that the assemblies may always have these people to be sent out. I think as we get older, we are more feeble, and therefore, I'm not saying you are feeble, I am feeble. And we want to go out, we are always reluctant. And so we said we must train people, we must equip them. And so the assemblies in Malaysia, at the time that we were, at this time, there were about 60 assemblies, English-speaking assemblies. We got together up on the hills where you are cool-headed, because the brethren in Malaysia are always hot-headed. They like to quarrel, get hot very fast, because it's summer always in Malaysia. And so we went up the cool hills, and then we said we need this. And so that is how we set up the assembly training center, which came to know as GLOW. We tried to follow a few models that the assemblies throughout the world had. One was EMEAS. Then after looking at it, we said, I think it is becoming more of you know, where you go into seminary type of education. And then we looked at EMEAS Australia. The first thing we saw was there was trouble. Lots and lots of trouble in Australia. And so we said EMEAS is out in Australia. We went and looked at GLOW Australia. We said, okay, this is a workable model. And so we said, one and one only would be our focus, and that is missions. And so our primary focus was missions. Then we have secondary focus. As the years went by, the assembly says, why don't we also send our young men, young adults, old believers all for preparation in serving the assemblies when they go back in the activities of. So they went there, went back as normal people, and then participate actively in the assemblies. And where do we get training? We train them in assemblies. We send them back during the course of training to the assemblies over weekends, so that they may be guided by the assembly leaders in the activities of the assembly. And practical training is also done in the mission field. We have two mission fields, actually. One is going to East Malaysia, going using the Malay language and entering into the rural areas to preach the gospel, and also having mission trips and short-term missions. Short-term missions is only to Nepal, because in our own country, having short-term missions would be a bit difficult, because you are not too far away from your place of residence, and to get them away is more difficult. So the medium of instruction, English, Malay, and Tamil. Chinese also we do have, but it is done by the Chinese assemblies. Now, if any of you want to see more pictures about Glow Malaysia, you can go into Glow Malaysia, one word, and then .org, O-R-G, yeah? W, this is, okay. Even if you miss this, only these three, I think will get you into the website. We are currently updating our website to include facts about 2013. So half of it has been done. I think there are still, at the time I saw yesterday, it is still been done. Okay. This is GLOW program for next year. We have what is known as level one. This is practically for young people who have left high school, your equivalent high school, and who are in colleges. You know, your associate degree, you know, that's equivalent to our college. So those who are there, who can come. This is 6 weeks duration, usually January to February. We have a large number coming for this program, because it includes training in the mornings, afternoon recreation, and then in the night, relaxing with meetings and also practical for them, teaching them how to preach a sermon, how to chair a meeting, and how to conduct children's activities, so that when they go home, they become useful vessels in their own local church. This is 6 weeks, and we get very good attendance here. And then we have level two, which is also in Taiping. I'll show you some pictures. And we normally have 34 weeks, 34 weeks plus this, about 40 weeks. About 40 weeks. It's in about 9 months. It's about 9 months. And that is one way we got a Nepali to enter our school, who came as a contract worker to Malaysia. He stayed 6 years, and on the sixth year, we said, "You are very active. Why don't you come and join us in GLOW? It will be totally free for you." And then we see how the Lord leads. And then he became a full-time worker and is now in Nepal. And this is regional training. What we have is, this is the GLOW school cannot expect all the assembly to bring all their people to Taiping, that is in the north of the country. And so we go to the assemblies and have 2 weekends and have some topics of relevance to the particular assembly. And so we started a few years ago, and we are going back to the assemblies, and we have about 7 to 9. Next year, we have 9 assemblies. And we will go to the assemblies. And usually we get about 40 to 60 people coming. And some assemblies in Kuala Lumpur, when we started to do many times, then I think Ray also came one weekend and taught on the subject of cults. Since he came to Malaysia, we said, you don't have to babysit. Your mother-in-law will do it. And you go and teach in one of the big assemblies. And then the regional training also extends to Nepal. We want to take care of the assembly in Nepal. And we also have, in the Malay assembly that I am in, we have started what is known as EMBC, Emmanuel Mailbox Bible courses. So this has link with, I think, the children's CEF, is it? Children's Evangelistic Fellowship. You know, the mailbox that you have in the US, they have given us a license, copyright license, to reproduce all their materials in Malay. So it's the mailbox courses. And we have also selected some of the EMEA's courses to translate the relevant courses into Malay, so that the Malay believers who speak Malay, to be able to use the courses. So every time we have baptism, we have the Malay translation of EMEA's. Now this is where our courses are. This is, I think, one of the graduation of courses. They are all very proudly holding their certificates, you know, at the end of 9 months. And then this is the young people, some of the young people. And this is the one young man, who, the Nepali, who is now a full-time worker in Nepal. The condition for full certificate would be they must start with the lowest level one and then move to level two. Okay, this is one other. This is the type, it's called Gospel Hall. You know, ancient time, they used to use, early years, we used to use the word Gospel Hall. As the government began to clamp on the freedom of having building, we called it Gospel Centers, because Gospel Centers means shop houses. We have the church in shop houses. And some, if the building is very tiny, we call it chapel, you know, just, no, yours is not tiny. In Malaysia, we call it the name of the place, like Wawatosa, Gospel Chapel it will be, you know, something like that. And this is the recreation. This area is about 2.5 acres, you know, of land, right in the center of the city. So in the evenings, if the people, students want to go, they don't have to have cars. They just walk right or left or east or west. Okay, this is a bit more pictures. Okay, this is one of the, I think, the graduation crowd that has come. Parents have come, friends have come. Now, we look at, I think, just a few pictures on GLOW, so that, And Nepal, this is our ministry in Nepal. One is church planting, one is GLOW training. The first training we started last year in October. We always want to select October because that is, the whole country goes on holiday for 1 month. Well, they only work 11 months. Why? Because around October and early November, it is a festival called Deepavali, which is a Hindu festival of light. and they take holiday to celebrate that festival of light. And so we said this would be the best time. You don't have to take leave. There's no work. So you come over. And then we have a mission trip that we did. The pictures are all what we have done. Okay, where is Nepal? Kathmandu. I think one of the sister that plays there, what's her name? Plays who's studying for medical, Courtney, yeah? She is going to Nepal in April, I think. April, May, next year. So I told her we will link you to the assembly there. You can go there. So, okay. So if you are going to Nepal, I think maybe Chicago is where you take your flight. Huh? And then you can go to New Delhi, India, and then go up here. It takes, I'm not sure how far is India here. And then you can go to Kathmandu straight. Or you can go this way from Chicago, and then you go this way to Japan here. And then from Japan, you can either fly into Kathmandu Strait or go to Thailand here, Bangkok, and then go up. So yeah, both ways is the same, huh? Distance-wise. I think this way is easier. You have India and then to Nepal. We it's only 4.5 hours here. It's a straight flight for us. Okay, let me just quickly go through. The population of Nepal is about 27 million based on the census. And we are working in central Nepal. Kathmandu has almost 4 million, and out of that, this is the outskirts of Kathmandu, just like Milwaukee Center. You have outskirts like Brookfield. I think you have locations, regions within Milwaukee. So this is about 500,000 people where our center is assembled. Okay. There are many ethnic groups, and Hinduism and Buddhism make up 91% of the population. Christians, 0.5%. Okay. Now, this is what we have rented. It costs us, let me convert into American dollars. I think it costs us about $300 US dollars to rent this building, three-story building. Is that cheap? Cheap, okay. And we give him a love gift, a monthly love gift to support the family. This brother, you saw his face as one of the students of GLOW. Okay. It is called Kathmandu Mission Center in Nepal. It's not called a chapel or a hall. It is simply because what happens is there are thousands of people, Nepalese, working in Malaysia. What he does is, his strategy is, when they return from Malaysia, he will have contacted them through his network in Malaysia. And then he will wait for them at the airport. This is quite close at the close to the airport, about maybe half an hour by car. And then he will have them in his house, in this home, downstairs his guest rooms. And there he would be, you know, talking to them and also show hospitality before they go back to their villages, which is far away. And because of that love, when they come and work in Kathmandu later on, they come and join the fellowship here. Yeah, you see. So this is his wife, his two daughters. Okay. Now, from the you know, the three-story building, when you look down, this is the surrounding. It's a mountainous country, so all the mountains are surrounding this Kathmandu. And this is the church planting in progress, so he got a small group, the Bible study, prayer, and then the group finally, by 1 year, he had a group. Okay, the next thing is we need baptism before you can have the Lord's Supper, you know. And so you have baptism, the mountains are just next door. So you go out to the mountains and in the, I don't know, this water must be, they asked me when I went there, can you baptize some? I said, never mind, you all do the baptism because it's freezing cold. It's, okay, sorry. This is one. This is the first baptism that they have. And then this is the second group, about 4 months later, in October. And then this was when we were about, this is the third baptism. So they already had, within that time period, when they started in 2010, until 2 years, they've already had three baptisms. And the assembly then requires training, building them up. And so now the assembly in August 20, no, this is not the whole assembly, yeah? Some of those, you know, you have to walk, really walk. If you see here, let me just see them walking. Can you see here? Walking. And the vehicles are far away. And you walk 1 mile. Never trust a Nepali in terms of distance. They tell you, don't worry, it's just a short distance away. It might take 8 hours, you know. Okay, so it is very far away. Okay, this is last year, Glory and I. It's expensive for a lot of people to go, so Glory and I. So I went and did the teaching where for 38 of them, 38 of them, excluding children. Children also come along, you know, everything. So excluding children, there were 38 believers already in the assembly at that time. And so you see when we had they made the meals, and also they were working together, you know, every time. It's a simple place, and these 38 students, and just imagine, morning they are seated on the floor like this. They're all seated on the floor, and in between I have to play some indoor games, like, you know, the indoor games you play with young people and children. Otherwise, they will get a cramp. Huh? But yeah. And then I asked them, after lunch, can we stop? They said, no, no. Well, please carry on until 5. After 5, at night, they said, they heard that I brought some film. You know, gospel films. Can you show us that? And they are hungry for the word. Huh? And so you have different groups. And so you see, these are families which came, and then the children have somebody to take care of. And that was last year. And when I was there, because this was a new church, they didn't know how to marry a person. You know, there was a couple, this couple here. You know how? He has never got, you know, the student, and how? So I said, okay, since they are already registered, you know, marriage, They were Hindus before they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's have a blessing ceremony to that the Lord may bless their marriage and the children. And so we had actually a marriage blessing. I'm not sure whether you have marriage blessing in this country. No, because in Malaysia, sometimes people, you know, the assemblies have no premises. And so they register with the civil marriage. You know, we have what is known as civil marriage. That means you go to the registrar, which is a government office, and then sign a document saying, now you are legally married. And so when they come back, we said, it has been many days before, you know, since you got married, you signed the document. And so we give, the church conducts what is known as a wedding or blessing, a marriage blessing, because our situation is like that. And so they come before the Lord because they want to be, you know, want to testify that they are united. And so they get, and so in Nepal we conducted such a thing. We also have church weddings where we have the authority to sign. But some people are from different parts of the country, and so we have. Okay? So the witnesses to this marriage were the 38 people, excluding them, 36 people. Including two of us, 38. Okay. So we have them. And so these are just, I got them to do funny things so that they can stretch. Okay. Okay, at the end of 7 days, this is how in Nepal they just, you know, use this instead of shaking hands. Okay. So they don't have to have bacterial, you know, cleanser. Okay. So this is their certificates at the end. And let me just, the 10 minutes that we have. Now, assemblies in Nepal. Now, missionaries from India, this is India, and this is Nepal, go in this way. Luckily for Nepal, Communist China cannot come in here because all is the mountain range, you know, the Himalaya mountain range, except for one path here, small path. And even this road is not a proper road. And so if the Nepali feel like buying cheap Chinese goods, they go in this way and come somewhere here. Okay, so Indian missionaries come here, and also Korean missionaries from Korea come here because they have a direct flight in. And so two assemblies, there are altogether 11 assemblies. I put in blue because in these three places there are no proper oversight. So I use the word outreach. Assemblies, including the one from Malaysia here, is an outreach because we do not have an oversight. So there are this assembly in green is big because they own a big farm, and they also have a big school, high school and primary school. This is where all the tourists go. Pokhara. Okay. Now just here, this is the city of Kathmandu. This is the village where we went and preached the gospel, where 15 people came to know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We prayed very hard in Malaysia before we went. But when we went there, I think somehow humanly, we were not actually looking for many people to come. You know, And when we went there, first thing we prayed at the airport. You know, we went this May, and I took 16 people, including me and Glory. And then we went through our airport. This is our airport. And then we went into Nepal airport. This is Nepal airport. And then we stayed in this place. It belongs to the Methodists who had not enough money, so they asked the Korean people to take over. So they gave a Korean name here. And we stayed there. And this is where the assembly is, with lots of people. You can see lots and lots of people. When we were in Nepal, we thought this is KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. But when we went inside, it was Ray's favorite chicken. What do you call that? Tandoori chicken. And we got cheated because it is Quality Food Cafe, KFC. Okay. So when you go there, you might find coffee bean. Don't get cheated. Huh? It may be local coffee. This is the city of Kathmandu. See? This is white mountain beans. Sometimes they serve as coffee bean. Okay, this is the village that we were talking about. Paddy fields up on the hills and beautiful scenery. If you want to go, we can arrange for you. We can help you. And you can stay in the assembly, because downstairs they have, I think, 6 people can be accommodated at one time. This is the village streets, and the outskirts of the village is all mountains. It's a mountainous country. This is a hospital, and we had time for every morning devotion when we went on the mission trip. And we had the gospel for children, for adults and youth. Let me just show the pictures quickly. Now, one day before we had the gospel meeting, we decided the team must separate and then go in different places in the hotel that we were staying and elsewhere to make friends. And so a few of them, 2 of them, went into the kitchen of the hotel to help the hotel chef. They were happy because they thought we can cook better than them. And then this girl went and befriended as an elderly person, and this too, some other people, and Glory went in to make friends with the hotel grandmother, you know, one of the grandmothers. Okay. Then we, on our part, we went to visit this man who is known to be a believer, who had an accident, and so we met people in the hospital. Okay. And one day before the gospel meeting, we met one of the chief man in that area. His wife came and garland, like in Hawaii, get garland. Okay, strangers coming to their village, maybe not many. Yeah? And so we had, now at midday, we had the gospel meeting, and so we had the members singing, and these are the group. We were surprised when 100 over people came by. And the hotel man allowed us to use his hotel, you know, the meeting place. And so we have with these chairs and all, we could preach the gospel. And that day, at that gospel meeting, we had 15 people. Even though we pray, you know, sometimes we pray, and yet without expectation. And when people came to Christ, we were not prepared for them. How do we counsel them? How do we follow up with them? Where will they be? I think these are issues we are working out in this type of situation. No assembly is there, and what do we do? And this is among the children. You know, we thought, where are the children going to come at 4 to 7? But they came. I think we had about 60 over children in an unknown place. And at the same time, the hotel person, when it started to rain, allowed us to use his dining hall. You know, this is the dining hall area. We were all meeting in this place. Suddenly the rain came and they ran in, 40 of the young people. And the hotel manager said, oh, you can use our place. Our guests, we will ask them to eat in their rooms. So how nice. God works, and he works mysteriously. Okay, this is at our chapel, where it is narrow, and so space was a constraint, and we had a pre-gospel fellowship, and then the next morning at 11:30, we had a gospel effort, about 50, I think, squeezed into, and then 5 put their trust, these young people, and 3 of them were baptized in August this year. Okay. These are Sunday school pictures. And these are youth in the compound. And let me close with these words. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were helpless and scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his vineyard. And I pray that today, even as we pray as an assembly of God's people, that God will touch our hearts. If you want to go to Nepal, you will not be a stranger, because we have worked there and we can link, you know, we can work together to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, most precious and glorious, you have given us hope when there was no hope. You gave us light when there was only darkness. You gave us a strong foundation when there was only a miry, horrible pit. Lord, we thank you. Enable us to bring the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to places where they do not know the Lord. And with this, O Lord, we commit this time that we will have as we continue in a time of prayer. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.